Ask the Podcast Coach for March 8th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Boy, it kind of feels like I've already done this once today. Hey, it's Saturday. We're rocking, we're rolling, we're having fun here, as always. Welcome to the train wreck that is Ask the Podcast Coach. That would be me, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting.com, and back in the chair. Glad to have him back. The one, the only, Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Did I get that right?
Yeah, all good. We're broadcasting live from the Gallup studios today, so on the mic here at Gallup.
Yes, and we're back. Yes, the original plan was to have this as a Google Hangout on air, and just to give you a little behind the scenes of what's been going on this morning, I was using an iRig. This is this cool little deal that you can plug your phone, like an iPhone. It's made to really plug a guitar into your phone, and then you can, there are all these amp things you can get, so your guitar sounds really, really cool. It's just your amp is now your iPhone. So I took an auxiliary out of my mixer. We're going to get uber geeky here, and threw it into that. The bad news is when I talked, you heard me through my microphone, but you also then heard me through the phone. So there was this whole echo problem. So I busted out my JK audio because I had tons of cords here. And to make a long story short, I'm missing one cable. And the fun thing was that the best thing on top of it was I needed one phone cable. That so I originally had two cables I needed. Went out to buy just a good old-fashioned, I need to plug it in the wall kind of phone cable. And it was like finding the elusive pot of gold. I mean, I went to Lowe's. They're like, hey, we don't carry phones anymore. I'm like, what? And I'm like, you don't even have a phone cable. And I think we got rid of all that stuff. And I'm like, really? So I finally went to Target, and of course the only cable they had was 25 feet long, and I need about a foot and a half. So that was fun. So yeah, I'm only feeding one channel. Really?
Yeah, it's always a challenge to get things. You know, we were talking pre-show just about, you know, with your studio, it's one of those things, and you've got a lot of stuff going on, so you're setting up, tearing down, you're trying different kinds of things all the time. It's difficult to, if you're changing things around, you know, we always say set it and forget it. And so I have a broadcast server that I use that's dedicated for just for podcasting, and I don't ever touch it. It's like, and I have to really resist the urge because, you know, here you have a PC basically that 99% of the time does nothing. Right? But it is all set, and everything's installed and working, and I'm very careful about software updates, and I'm careful about, you know, beta testing and those kinds of things on it. And that way I can at least get a guaranteed, you know, some kind of guaranteed connection each time. Dave, we go live every week on Home Tech as well. And this podcast and the other one I do on Tuesday nights with homeservershow.com, all live. And so I'm pretty used to it. You kind of just roll with it, you know?
There you go. And I'm unplugging and plugging in outputs here. They're saying we're only coming in on one channel. All my pans are set dead center. So Mike, thanks for the input on that.
Yeah, I've been using Spreaker. I almost put the two together and came Spreakler. Up with the mono name. Spreaker. yeah. So I run those at the same time too. Did that test last week and that seemed to work out okay. I don't quite have the followers you do on Spreaker or on Mixler. So I got that email back from them. Mixler's really nice. At the end of your broadcast, they send you an email that says, hey, here's your stats. And so you get some idea who listened to you live. That's kind of nice.
You know what else we haven't done? We should do this just for fun so it can hang up on people. Let's fire up our good friend, the Uber conference. And
Get it rolling.
And
well, Dave, while you're doing that, yeah. I'll say thanks for all the good words. I did listen to both podcasts, both with Ryan Parker, and then last week you had a whole plethora of folks on the show, and I thought that was that show got better as the hour went along, and so I appreciate you guys kind of filling in for me in my absence. I'll be I'll be out a couple more times in the spring. I'm a runner as well as a podcaster, and I've got a couple races that I'll be doing here on Saturday morning. So we'll be probably looking for a few more guest hosts. Dave will get a chance to maybe pick those and throw them in there. So Ryan, nice job. It was great. It was good to, I tweeted him out, but Ryan did a nice job the first week. And then, and the name's escaping me, Dave.
Reverend Ken Blanchard.
Ken Blanchard, that's right.
And yeah, I talked
Nick
to Mike.
Was the one that kept coming to mind because I remember Nick, and then Mike had joined you as well.
Yeah, we just kept, it was like a fun pool party. It's like, all right, come on and just come on in. And we kept inviting more and more people, and it was a lot of fun. And it's the other fun stuff that's going on. Well, here, our number, if you want to call in, the toll-free number is not going to be forwarding right now because I was forwarding it to the thing that didn't work this morning. is 440-253-9922. Let's throw that in the chat room. And
try turning our Mixler feed up a little bit.
We can do that.
Going up there. Crank They're it. Saying it's a little quiet.
A little quiet.
Not like Dave doesn't have a million things to be doing. Here I am. I'm sitting back. I'm drinking a margarita. I'm enjoying a good time on a Saturday morning. And Dave's, I could see him on the video just working frantically. To try and get things working.
Well, my plan is to eventually have this as a Google Hangout and take the calls and the whole nine yards. I've got the equipment. It's just a matter of getting it because I've got a mixer now with two auxiliary sends. So the thought can be I can do a mix minus for the caller. I can do a mix minus for you. And the only thing I thought about that today is I really won't have to – I'm trying to think about how that works because now I'm doing you on a separate computer, goes into the mixer – then goes into computer number two. If I'm connecting on a Google Hangout, I'm connecting to you via Google Hangout, right? Mm-hmm. So in theory, mm-hmm. I don't need two mix minuses, do I?
No, you shouldn't.
Yeah, I'll have you and the caller, really.
Yep, because I should be able to hear both. I should be hearing it back through the. In fact, the two mix minus concept may give me the echo. So, because two, you know, a double negative is a positive. So, it would be, no, I think we'd be okay on that one.
Yeah. So that's the plan at least.
And yeah. Yeah. Well, I have really, while you're finishing setting things up, I'll cover the dead air. I have really, and I know we got some questions to cover too. Mm-hmm. I've really liked, you know, I set up, and I mentioned it earlier, I've set up the second PC that really, you know, all it does is run and connects everybody. You know, so it's got I run the Google Hangout in it in a separate account. In fact, that's the recording account that I use, and nothing else is running on it. So it gets full bandwidth and full memory from, you know, a PC standpoint. And then I've got this little audio jumper trick. You know, you just get one of those audio jumpers. It's got an 1/8-inch connection on both sides, mm-hmm. a little short one, and plug it into the microphone jack in the sound card and plug it into the speaker jack. And so whatever's coming out of the speaker on that PC is also going, you know, it comes out and right. goes back into the microphone. And that way for Audacity or Spreaker or Mixler, I keep trying to mix those up. It gets a single unified audio connection that's kind of separate from the studio PC. And it really keeps the complexity of live podcasting down to a minimum. And I've been doing that for, I don't know, about 2.5 years now, maybe three. We did it kind of to fix when we first started going live on Ustream way back in the day. We kind of came up, or I came up with that concept to kind of help with the Ustream piece, because I knew if I ran that off my own PC, I would have to do this weird mix minus thing, which I don't do. I'm not a mix minus guy.
Yeah. It's a hassle.
It is. It's a huge hassle. And I think for the beginning podcaster, it's a little intimidating and yeah. it's trouble. Now, a guy like Mike Phillips, right? He gets it. He's a sound guy. He understands it. That's great. But I think for the average podcaster, it's just too, we have like whole websites dedicated to setting up a mix minus. And I'm like, you know, you don't need that. Get a USB mixer. It handles it for you and you're in good shape. And then I like this idea of a dedicated broadcast PC that then, you know, I fire up Spreaker and Mixler. It's got YouTube running on it. I could have Audacity recording on it on the same time or Audition or whatever I want to use. Right. And it just gives me another option. It's separate from everything else and it just unifies the sound. And now the big drawback to it is because I'm coming through an audio connection that's like Google Plus, my audio is compressed. So a lot of podcasters like their own voice to sound the best, you know, they bought this
right
Heil PR40 and they want to sound like God on their own podcast. Okay. That broadcast server concept changes that because my sound's routing through the Google Hangout. Locally, I'm sounding like I'm in the Google Hangout. So I don't get the very best sound possible. I think it's good enough. So that's one of the tricks that I've used to get around live and to get around the complexities of mix minus. I'm not a big fan of mix minus. I just think it's unnecessary.
It seems like a lot of work. And I know when I was trying to tie this whole thing together, I was like, oh, this is going to be just a, and if you could see my desk right now, it is a spider web because mm-hmm. it's hard to find short cables.
Yeah.
They're always like, even this week, I bought one of those 1/8 inch to 1/8 inch. We have a treadmill now that you can plug an iPod into and we just need like a foot because it's, you know, the iPod's right. going to sit on the treadmill and it's like everything was 3 feet, 6 feet. I'm like, mm-hmm. I really just need, but.
Mm-hmm. I did get a 6 inch cable at Radio Shack.
There you go. Go in and get shacked.
So, the shack. And can I sell you 1500 batteries while I'm at it? You got to love this, Jack. Dave, I know we got some questions. Let's get to them.
Yeah. Tina says, Tina, let me see if Tina, yeah, she's at savvyhomeschoolmoms.com. And I've known Tina for a long time. She was, Tina's a great example of somebody who said, I don't know if I can do this. This just seems too crazy for me. And, you know, I'm not a technical person. And she's now being, is the chat at schoolofpodcasting.com/live? Yes, we're actually using Mixlr today. We switched. We were going to do a live video. Gary wrote in. But so here's what Tina's saying. She says, right now I have a show closing. It consists of me saying, leave us a review on iTunes. Then my co-host Becky says, follow us on Twitter. And then Tina will say, drop us a question. And she says her email address. And then Becky will say, for links and resources shared in this episode. And then Tina will say, you can find Becky at blah, blah, blah. And Becky will say, thank you, goodbye. She goes, do you think this is too much? And I was like, because she listened to my last episode of the podcast review show. It took the people forever to sign off. And I know we had the podcasters roundtable with Isabella Russell from Music Radio Creative. And she was like, when we give people a laundry list, they probably don't do any of them. And I was like, man, I think that's kind of what I've been trying to do. Maybe what I've done is I've put all my Twitter and Facebook and all that on a page called Contact. And it's like, here it is. If you want to contact me, here's the, you know, speak pipe. Here's the voicemail, you know, that whole nine yards. I don't know. I know I hear every week, you know, a laundry list and it's like,
Well, you mentioned this, I think, on School Podcasting last week when I was listening to it. And you mentioned it in terms of you get website creep, right? Where you never intend to have all that crap on your website when you start, right? But then, you know, this week you add, oh, I'm going to add this banner, and then I'm going to add this affiliate, and then I'm going to add this, and then pretty soon you look at your website and you're like, wow, this is kind of a mess of context. We on the Gallup side, we are, as we've grown our show, our Called the Coach show, we've had a little bit of link creep pop in there and like, okay, so, oh, let's make sure we highlight the Facebook group. Oh, now we need to highlight the YouTube channel. Let's, you know, now we've got meetups going on around the country. Let's get those in. I really think the key on the podcast, because I think, like you said, if you give them two or more call to actions, they're going to do none of them. Mm-hmm. I think you really got to give them one and maybe two. Now, if you're at the end of the show, you're more likely to get them to do something because one, the show is over and they can go do it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do it at the beginning of the show, they're not going to go do it. They're listening to your show.
Right.
Right. So if you do it at the end, I think you got to have one that drives them, like you said, to a page that has the rest of them on there or an app or something that where you're driving them to a place where they can get all your resources. So, you know, it's like the show notes, right? Make it easy with pretty links to get to the show notes for the show. Hey, all these links will be available out at schoolpodcasting.com/317.
Oh, yeah, this one's 17. Yeah.
Is it 17? Did
this
I get
would
it right?
Be, wow. This would be askthepodcastcoach.com/17. Yeah.
So I think that is the, if you rattle off a bunch of links at the end of your show, I think the chances of them actually doing something are very, very, very slim.
Yeah.
Unless it's just one thing and that one thing needs to be super easy to do because they need to remember it. And I don't. I mean, I listen to stuff all the time. I'm like, I should go back and look at that. Oh, No, I didn't do it.
Yeah. So she has a follow-up question, and this is really so subjective. She basically, and it's a really long email, so I'm just going to kind of paraphrase this. This is her format. She has a weekly catch-up. She says, this is where we share what we've been up to since we last recorded, keeping a focus on homeschool-related topics. And so Tina will say something, and then Becky, her co-host, will say something. And then there's books of the week. This is where we share the books our kids and ourselves are reading since our last recording. So again, Tina will go and Becky will go. Then there are sponsors. So apparently she has sponsors for her show. Then there are links of the week. She said, but we don't always have one. We are constantly discovering fabulous resources. And so Tina will have one and Becky will have one. Then they have listener recognition. They review a homeschool product. This is where we will give a competitive review, usually because we were given the product for free or owe them a review. Ooh, that's kind of spooky. We can talk about that. Discuss a homeschool topic. And her question is, I'm not sure having the homeschool topic, which is the title content, at the end of the show, but the catch-up in particular feels like it should start off the show. What do you think? And I was like, to me, this is one of those where I kind of want to go ask your audience. But I do know if we look at the news, right, they always go, our top story today, and then they jump right to it. And so I often wonder, I actually started just recently, if I have a guest on my show, I've been putting them first. I always have like a little because of my podcast story, and I always try to make those fairly brief and then get right to whoever, especially if I have a guest, because if the idea is I want my guest to promote my show, I don't want them to go, yeah, here, I'm on this show, I'm at the 24-minute mark. So maybe there's a lot of different ways we could go like this, but what do you think about putting the title content last? Is pretty much what she has.
Yeah, no, you can't put it last. You got to have it up front. I think I listen to school podcasting a lot, so I have noticed you've been moving those interviews up front and getting right to it. And I've done a lot of thinking about my own intro on Home Tech. I time it and I listen to it every week and I critique it every time. I think it's important we're a community podcast, and I think it's important that opening is consistent each week. I think people like consistency. I think if you're changing your show format every single week, that's not as good. I think people are creatures of habit. They like to hear the same things. Surprisingly, they like to hear them over and over in the same order. And they like to have you. I think your show needs to be predictable. So I think pick a format that works for you, that gets good feedback from your listeners, and then stick with it. And then just keep working it. Just keep working the formula each week. Make that work. And what that is, Dave, I think it's, you said it. I mean, I think you got to pull your listeners and say, what do you guys like? And, that's really important that they get that. And then, as far as the links go, if you got a bunch of little small stuff and you're putting it at the end, man, just put those links in the show notes. It's fine. Roll through that stuff. Your most engaged listeners are at the end of your show. And so they're going to listen for those things. I know what you're going to say at the end of the school of podcasting every single week, right? I've been listening to that long enough and I know that's coming up. I still listen to it because I'm engaged, right? I'm driving in my car. I'm not going to mess with my phone while I'm driving. It's not a big deal. Throw that stuff in there and throw it at the end. And then if it's got links associated with it, throw it in the show notes. Then make your show easy to find, right? So that those show notes are easy to find, and pretty links are the way to do that.
Right. And so I would move the topic up, and then things like the books of the week and the links of the week, those I would move back because – you're the people that make it that far into the show are, again, really into your topic.
Right. Right.
And so you've got the meat and potatoes, and you could consider those veggies and
whatever's grabbing whatever your audience is there to listen to. I think you want to get that up as front as possible. We on Home Tech, I've begun to do some interviews with CEOs and marketing folks of different tech companies. And when we do those, we do them right up front. I mean, I do the intro and then we dive right into the interview. And I just think that's one of the people are there. You're only going to get about half your listeners to listen 15 minutes or more anyway. So if it's the meat, you want to have it very up front. I did get some negative feedback on Google+ the other day. Someone with the advent of so many, especially in the tech space, where there's so many help videos on YouTube now that start with, hey, this is Bob, and I want to show you how to build a deck. And they go right into it, right? There's no community building. They're not there. It's not a podcast. It's a how-to, right? And if you show up in a you know, if somebody's searching, like say we're doing a review on this particular item and I put that in the title and it shows up in a search and somebody finds my podcast. Well, I spend a minute and 30 seconds, let's say, it with community stuff. I introduce the, you know, I do a show opening, I introduce the guests, and then we go into the stuff. Well, even in a minute and 30, I got a comment back from somebody who's like, yeah, yeah, blah, 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 get to the point.
Wow. Right?
That was the feedback that I got. Well, they were obviously looking for a how-to 7-minute video that gets right to the point, right? Mm. That's not my podcast. They found the wrong thing, right? And so you have to be careful of that too. If I took his advice, I wouldn't do anything up front. And my regular listeners might say, hey, you know, where's the community stuff? You know, where's the stuff that binds us together? So it's, man, it's tough. It's somebody said it in chat just a minute ago. You can't please everybody. I think it was,
Jeff.
Said you can't please everybody, you know, and you can't. Now you're going to get negative feedback. No matter what you do, you're going to get some negative feedback from somebody.
Yeah. I had a client call this morning and I was kind of walking him through. He's got a few episodes out and he's not in iTunes yet. And he kind of was asking me for feedback. And I went to his website and he didn't even have like an about page. I said, look, you really need an about page. It's one of the most probably trafficked, if that's even a word, pages. It's popular, doggone it. And I said, are you going to do any kind of feedback? Because he's a doctor and he wants to talk about the science of weight loss. And he's actually doing something really interesting. He's interviewing his patients. And I go, well, make sure you have their permission, you know they're being recorded and things like that. And I said, are you going to be getting any kind of feedback? Because he was going to release multiple podcasts per day.
Ooh.
And there would be like one answer, one Q&A. And I'm like, I said, you can do whatever you want. I said, but I know people that do a daily show and their listeners get a little overwhelmed because they can't keep up with the amount of content. I said, so, you know, test and see what's up. I said, but you're going to need a channel for your people to contact you. And when I said that, he goes, well, but then are you going to have people saying nasty stuff? I go, look, that's welcome to the game. It's, you know, I said, realize you're never as good as your best review and you're never as bad as your worst review. I said, so, you know, somebody's going to like you and some people won't. And I said, but if you don't have a way of communicating with your audience, how are you going to know if it's working or not? I said, right. So, and you got to be able to, I said, it's great when you get constructive feedback that says, hey, I think your sound level is squirrely, you know, cause you can adjust that. But when you get somebody that goes, wow, this show sucks. Yeah. It's kind of hard to fix that because they're not being very specific. I said, but you know, just keep, I'm actually going to, it's one of the topics for Monday's School of Podcasting is how to, hey, we have a caller from Texas. We can, you know, how you can handle bad comments and things like that. So, hey, who do we have on the line and, what's your question?
How many people you know in Texas, Dave, that call you every week?
Oh, that would be Gary.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, my man?
Good. I just was listening to your show and I like your show. I mean, it's at a perfect time for me. So that's probably the only show I ever call in because it's a perfect time for me. But I had a conversation very similar to y'all's at a pod camp not too long ago about people worried about having too much information or too much task or commercials or whatever you want to call it in their podcast, and that their listeners might not like having that much information in there and what to do about it. Because I kind of felt like that was what y'all were kind of talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's what we're talking about for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And my feeling is if they don't want to watch the stuff that I really want them to see, I don't care if they watch, because I do video podcasts, mm-hmm. I don't care if they watch my stuff at all. I mean, if they don't want to see what I'm promoting, then why am I doing it? I mean, I got better things to do. So personally, if they're like, oh, I don't want to watch this show because every show he gives me a 30-second promo, well, I don't want them to watch. I don't care if they watch at all. I think you have to find a line there where you're saying, hey, I'm giving you great content. I'm not charging you for a dime for it. So I deserve 30 seconds, a minute of your time. If you want to forward fast it, you can. I'm not stopping you. But I have the right to put that in there. If you don't want to watch that, I don't care if you listen.
But that
I know that's a hard way to, but that's the way I feel about it.
Well, that is one of the great things about podcasting is you're in control of your content and, you know, you can spin it and do it any way you want. So Tina was asking about how to structure her show. She can really, you don't have to go to a program director. You don't have to go to a board of directors. You know, you could just say, all right, I'm the producer. I'm going to do it this way. And that's.
And I'm real vagrant about it. I really am. I stick my stuff right in front of their face. I get my stuff in there early in case they quit watching. You know, halfway through, I still got my content that I was worried about them seeing out. You know, where some people want to put it at the end. I want them getting that stuff early. So if they quit halfway through, I still saw it. And my numbers are great. I still have had over 2 million views. I have almost 40,000 Facebook friends, 20,000 Twitter followers. And I'm real upfront with it and put it in their face. So it's not killing my numbers.
Well, and are you doing a like a hard sale, or is it just more like, hey, here's a product that you might want to think about? Or
well, what I do on every show, I do it the same way because I agree with the other guy. I'm sorry I don't remember his name because I've never met him, so I'm not really good at that. But every show, 4 minutes into it or 3 minutes into it, I say, hey, now we're going to go to what you came to see. Right after this short message about my magazine, because I have the Fast Pitch magazine, and it's a 30-second just video presentation of pages, a clip. Then they get to watch the whole meet. Then I come back with a 30-second commercial on my softball store. And these are actual commercials. I'm not like just talking. And then I even talk about it. Hey, you know what? That's my store. If you like what I'm doing here, I ask you to check out my website. I'm asking them for help. If you like this free content, check it out. If I'm the same price, hey, have a show some support for what I'm doing and buy from me. If I'm not the same price, don't buy from me. I don't blame you. And that's how I end up the show.
Keeping it real, baby. There you go.
Yeah, well, I think
I'm just telling them what I want them to do. I'm telling them I'm giving this stuff for free, and I'm upfront about it. I'm not like because I know a lot of people are like worried about having commercials in their show that it'll upset their fans. Well, I mean, I do my show to make money. I'm real upfront about that. You know, so if they're upset about me having a commercial in there to make some money when I'm giving them a 30-minute show, then they really aren't too big a fan of mine.
Right.
Well, obviously, I mean, your listening base, you're consistent in your message, right? Going back to what I was saying before, you do the show the same way each time. You're consistent. The listener knows what they're
exactly.
going to get, right? So they know they're going to get
exactly the same way.
And they're okay with it, right? And so you've built that for your audience. They know what they're going to get. I guess my message is consistency over content sometimes. Not that you can have crappy content. People are obviously listening to your podcast because they like your content.
The content is king.
The consistency in that, although in the method and the way you deliver it, I think is very important. And so they know what they're going to get. We're kind of commercial free on my podcast. I don't advertise it or talk about it a lot, but I've had a few of the listeners write me back and say, hey, they appreciate that. That's the audience I've grown, right? That's what they've come to expect. In your case, they're okay with the commercials. Otherwise they'd leave,
right?
And you wouldn't have the download. So
exactly.
I don't think it's not a matter of should you have commercials or not, or should you pimp things or not, or where do you put the links? I think the key is if you don't have an audience, if you started with an audience and now you don't have one, you're probably not doing it the way your audience wants to hear it. And there is a little bit of playing to your audience and figuring out what they want to hear, right? Because if they stop listening, you know, if the tree falls in the forest, right?
Yeah.
I think I've been approached by so many people who have said to me over the last years, you know, I wish I could put something in my podcast to make me money, but my fans wouldn't like it. Well, if you want to do it, it's your show.
But
you'll lose some fans, but you'll gain them back.
And on the other hand, there are people like Keith and the Girl, George Robb, I forget who the third one was, that once they finally put out a way for people to support the show, they were like, thank goodness I can finally give you some money. So. You might have a community that's like, I wish this guy would write a book or something to where I could actually, you know, give him some money or things like that. And,
you're probably talking about your book though, saying, hey, don't forget to have a book. So you'd be doing the same thing.
Right.
And people, if you're giving them good content, I get fans all the time that send me messages when they buy stuff on my online store. Love the show. Cause it's a comment thing, you know, like if you want to look at the back door or something, love the show, blah, blah, blah. I get that on so many messages. And that's just from me asking them at the end. You know, hey, support me if you like what I'm doing, because they want to support you. You're 100% right, Dave. If they like what you're doing, they know it's a value, and they want to support you.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, you mentioned your one magazine. You might as well mention the the new magazine now that it's out.
Oh, well, yeah, it wasn't hasn't been out for very long. PotterPant.com, the podcast magazine. You know, there's been some that's come and gone, but hopefully we're going to be the one to stay. I've been successful with my other magazine, so I don't see why this one won't be. But, you know, I have that kind of attitude. I'm pretty positive everything I do in life will work, whether it does or not. But it comes out the 15th of every month. In the iTunes store, if you just search Pottertainment, P-O-D-E-R-T-A-I-N-M-E-N-T, Pod and Entertainment. And it'll come up, and it's a free app. And you download the app, and then you go in the app to make an in-app purchase, and you subscribe to the show for, start to the magazine, 12 issues, $12.99, and you're a writer. He had a very good article. Building locks into three podcasts.
Yeah. And then...
we're getting lots of great reviews.
There you go. Yeah, everybody's... I realized it's funny. You came on, I'm like, oh, it's Gary. And everybody in the chat room were like, who's Gary? And I'm like, oh, and so I'm glad that Nick is filling in everybody that, yeah, this is Gary Leland from FastPitch.tv. And as he just mentioned, Pottertainment, the new Pottertainment magazine. So.
Yeah, and for old timers, you know, like, it's funny. And they when we went to New Media Expo this year, the first time I've been there in 5 years, I guess, mm-hmm. a long time. And how many people walked up to me and called me Pete Dilly?
Yeah.
I know about that. A lot of old timers know me as that from Podcast Pickle back in the day, as Dave says.
Yes.
You even had the right inflection on that, Gary. Nice job.
I listen to Dave. Dave is one of the few shows that I catch every episode. I mean, I listen to a lot of shows because that's all I listen to, but I listen to all of Dave's shows.
Well, I appreciate that. I've been working on shows.
You have good information. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
Oh, sorry, I mean to step on you. I was just going to say, I've been doing this since 2004, and you have more information on your show than anyone else that I find of value. Well, and I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Well, I appreciate that. Awesome. Anything else we can help you with, Gary?
That is it. I just wanted to tell you that people should not be scared to put whatever they want in their podcast, because it's their podcast.
Yep. That is true.
That's all I was really the point I was trying to get across. Yep. Y'all have a great show. I enjoy this morning's show. I'll let y'all get back to others instead of hogging up more of your time.
Sorry, man.
But,
always good.
Thanks, Gary.
Always good
Thanks
to hear from
in.
You, buddy.
Baby, bye.
Yep. And see, I'm getting smart. I mute Jim now. See, and it still came back. I'm trying to get rid of the blunk sound, but that actually...
That's all right. Yeah, so the format, we got a listener out there in chat who, and I'm sure I would mispronounce the name, so I'm not even going to try, but she asks, what's the protocol here? Are we supposed to or encouraged to or allowed to call questions that are off topic?
Sure.
The only off topic we wouldn't consider is off the podcasting topic.
Yeah.
So try and keep it to podcasting, but she had a question about SoundCloud. So Lourdes, call in. Lourdes. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that.
Miss so. Wellhaven would be. We could go that route too.
Yeah, that Wellhaven. There you go, Miss Wellhaven. I like that. That's a good. Yeah. Call.
So feel free to call on in. That'd be great. And Nick had a question. Speaking of, you know, kind of trying to get some support for your show, Patreon, Patreon, .com is a new service. It's kind of like an ongoing Kickstarter, and I actually interviewed Anthony from Patreon, who will be on Monday's show. And there's Miss Wellhaven, I would believe. Is that you? And
it's me. It's Lourdes.
Lourdes. There we go. So I got it almost right there. But yeah, the new Patreon thing is kind of neat, where you can have an ongoing Kickstarter campaign. And Nick was asking, should you ask for people's support at the beginning or the end? And that's a great question. Because on one hand, if you do it, I think you would get better results at the end because you've developed a relationship to a certain extent with those people. They're like, wow, this guy was pretty cool. But on the other hand, there's so many people that never make it to the end of your podcast. So if you, I always laugh. The one day I did a survey on, is this podcast too long? And I put it at the end of the show. Well, everybody that replied to it said, no, it's great. Well, that's because anybody that thought it was too long had already tuned out. So, I guess the question would be, would be tested and try. So, we can talk more about that since we have Lourdes on the phone. What's your question about SoundCloud and where can we find your podcast if you have one?
Well, I have two podcasts. I have one at Networker for Business Women, for my fellow female businesswomen out there, and I have another one at littlepamperdog.com. But my question regarding SoundCloud is this. I have several podcasting buddies that are telling me that they're getting great downloads from SoundCloud. And I use a setup similar to what you promote, Dave, and that is, you know, utilizing Libsyn and, you know, syndicating to iTunes and et cetera. But I don't have my podcast available on SoundCloud. I wanted to get your opinion on that. I don't want to switch podcast hosting to SoundCloud from Libsyn. That just makes no sense to me. But I'm considering, you know, adding the show to SoundCloud too. I'd like to, you know, get an understanding of what you think.
Yeah. What are the people that are getting great downloads on SoundCloud, what are they publishing? Like, what's their show?
Business-related podcast.
Because I know I have, because you can sign up for a free account at SoundCloud and just throw a couple episodes up there. And when I do that, I get maybe 7 listens in 3 weeks. So I don't know that there's a huge,
wow.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a huge audience over there that is looking for podcasts over there. It's not like it's Tumblr or something where it's, if you like this, you'll like that. I hear that getting the actual, like using them as a podcast host, it's not the easiest thing to get the direct download to the MP3. So what you need, if you're going to be putting it into something like, PowerPress or things like that, they also have, I know you can put a SoundCloud player in Facebook. I think you can do it in Twitter. I think you can somehow embed a link in Twitter that way. So they do have some neat options. I just don't know and in terms of a media host, I'm not sure, if it's going to get you any more listeners.
Dave, you know, SoundCloud is very social, and you know, it's a little bit of, it's got a lot of musicians out there and so a big social community. You know, I think if you're working SoundCloud like social, if you're out there, you're following people, they're following you. It's anything. It's like Spreaker, right? If you got people following you, and when you post something, it shows up in their feed, then they're going to get they'll get notification of it, and they'll come and listen to it. If you use a SoundCloud player, you post it to Facebook. Those, because they do have some great embeddable players that you can put anywhere on the web, which are really nice. If you're working those angles, I think you'll get some good numbers. I think if you just put it out there, Dave, and expect like people to find you, I don't think you're going to get anything. I mean, there's no surprise to me. You posted some things out there. You don't have a gigantic following on SoundCloud, and so I don't think you're just people aren't just going to listen to it. It's not like, I think podcasters sometimes expect to go to these podcasting, location or podcasting directories. And as soon as they post there, I'm going to get 50 people you still got to incite the community to come and listen to you. So Lori's, I think if you want to work SoundCloud, I would use it as I'm a podcast, you need to have your podcast everywhere kind of guy. And I think if you're going to do it, you have to make it a choice that you're going to make an investment into SoundCloud. And you're going to spend some time out there gathering some followers, doing some stuff, creating a community, those kinds of things. I'm not sure I would move away from my host provider to do that. It would just be another place to post my podcast.
Yeah, Mike has a great tip. Right. He says, and this is what I did. I would just post my latest episode, but I didn't do what Mike said. He said, post your latest episode and then put it on Facebook, because that's the big whoop-de-doo, is they can have a player on there. But I usually just link to a post on Facebook, and it gives, when you link to Facebook, it shows you the title of the post and things like that. So they can't listen to it right there. They used to be able to do that. You used to be able to link right to the MP3, and Facebook would put a player on their website. I don't know why they quit that, but that's mainly because they're Facebook and they love to give and take away features, I guess. But I know for me, I've tried it with a couple different of my podcasts, and I didn't see a huge traffic spike. So I think if you're looking at this as a way to grow your audience, I don't know if that's going to give you a huge boost. It does have a really cool player. I will give them that. And I cringe because they have a thing on their website that if you sign up to be a part of their beta podcasting service, they will give you, you can actually submit their feed to iTunes. And I think for a while they were recommending using FeedBurner. And then the other thing I don't like about that one is there's no way to leave SoundCloud. And that's one of the things I really love about Libsyn. If I ever want to leave Libsyn, I don't even have to ask them. I can go in and put in a redirect and say, look, my feed is now over here. So that's one of the biggest reasons why I like Libsyn.
Do you have much of a following on SoundCloud? I mean, are you out there already?
Me?
No. Me? Lori's.
Yeah.
No, I'm not on SoundCloud at all. I was just talking to, more than one fellow podcaster telling me about these amazing downloads that they're getting on SoundCloud. And it just shocked me because I've never purposely listened to a podcast on SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get, y'all's opinion. The other question that I had related to that was, are there any technical, issues with having my podcast on, Libsyn, but then also uploading the same episodes to SoundCloud? Are there any hiccups there that I should be aware of before I try this?
Nope. You can just upload it there. And what's nice about that is that's where you're able to see what traffic or how many downloads SoundCloud only brought you, because that particular version of the file is not going to iTunes. It's not going anyplace else. The only way you can get that particular listen is on SoundCloud. And that's where I said, I think somewhere between 3 and 7, and that's, again, I'm not promoting it. I'm not going out to Twitter and saying, here, listen to this on SoundCloud. I'm driving people back to my website. So, it's not going to cause a glitch.
In a quick look here, I Googled business and I got the Harvard Business HBR, the Harvard Business Review podcast, or they call it an IdeaCast, which is kind of a cool name. Their episode 393 has 5,000 views or 5,000 listens, but they also have 500,000 followers, right? So, I think that just reinforces the point. I think if you're willing to go out to SoundCloud and make a community run at it and get some followers out there, I think, yeah, you probably could. So maybe ask these folks I think if you want to look at this, ask them or go find them on SoundCloud and see how many followers they have. And then you can kind of see what their download numbers are and get an idea if that's, if they're working it. Yeah, give it a try. If you're willing to put the work into it, any one of those podcasting applications like this that would be good for that. They can be worked if you work the community.
And
thank you both. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
You bet. Thanks for calling in.
And Mike Phillips has given me a new toy to play with, ChirtBit. CHIRBit.com is a way that, again, you can share your audio easily. I'll have to play with that. I've never heard of that. And I just logged into my SoundCloud account, and it's been forever since I've been here, so I'm trying to remember how to go in. I know there's a place in here. Here it is, my tracks. And I have a Ask the Podcast Coach show on here. The one about podcasting is the devil. And here's the thing, and this is what Mike was talking about. I must have more than one file here because I went – I have 2 hours and 11 minutes. And if you go over 11 minutes, they basically disable your account.
On the free account.
On the free account. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to delete that.
Yeah. And I do one podcast at a time. I've done that too. I've tested it a couple times, throw it up there. I don't have any followers, Yeah. I haven't worked it. And so, my podcast has gotten one play, and maybe that's me, making sure it worked. You just can't throw your podcast into an empty, into a community where you have nobody following you and expect to pick up a lot of listeners. Now, that's a little bit different on Spreaker. Spreaker, it does do a nice job of notifying folks when you post something, but I've used that Spreaker embed, and we use that for the Gallup podcast, and it gets some nice views out there from, it's got maybe 15 followers on Spreaker right now, but we get 100 or so listens every single episode. So I know we're getting folks who are not following, but they're picking it up on our blog to listen to it that way and that player. So we've got a fairly robust system though to make that work, to drive people out to the blog site. And we give them both a YouTube option and an audio only option. We're not in iTunes yet, which you know, I know I'm breaking the golden rule of podcasting, right? No, we're not on iTunes. And I'm waiting for an RSS feed. We're building our own blog platform, and I'm waiting for that RSS feed to come. And, you know, in some ways, I'm kind of glad I waited on iTunes because we learned some things. And so when we do go to iTunes, well, it'll be a thump. You know, we'll release 20 episodes all at once, and we'll just be available, and we'll drive our we've grown a community. We started with zero, right? And so we've got a community now of a couple thousand listeners each week, and when we hit iTunes, I think it's going to go big pretty fast. So our goal is to compete with NPR. So we'll see how that goes.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
And no, it'd be kind of fun that way. It also would be nice to see kind of a before and after iTunes to see what is the impact of iTunes.
Yeah. It's different podcasting at the enterprise level, especially when you have access to, we're doing an email mailing coming up here, for the show, not next week, but the week after. 2.5 million people will get it.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a little intimidating, to be honest with you. I wish I had that iTunes feed ready, or I was going to have it ready for that show, because it'd be nice to have them come over and then send them to iTunes. But that being said, you know, once we get on iTunes, we'll make this big push to get it automatically, you know, subscribe and get it on your phone. That'll be for 6 months. Everything will be iTunes driven, you know, subscribe for our listeners. I think that's the best way for them to get it. So we'll do a concerted effort to get that done. But it's different, Dave, when you have on the enterprise end, when you have those kind of numbers. We often talk so much about podcasters scrapping it from zero, you know, to whatever. And it's been nice to jump into a podcast where I've got kind of a built-in audience.
And I did notice one thing different today. We haven't dropped a call yet.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm doing slightly different, and it's because I had to log in and get the phone number, is in addition, because we have Uber Conference in the Google Hangout, which is tied in, but I'm also on my other machine where I'm watching the chat room and things like that. I logged into Uber Conference, my account, so I could get the phone number. I don't know if that makes a difference. And I can see that I'm connected to Google Hangout. Mm. But it's funny. It's like, okay, as we get ready to leave it, it's actually going to work for a week.
Yeah, well, maybe it gets to stay around. Maybe this is like Survivor, you know, it gets to stay around for another week before it gets voted off the island.
Well, I thought about that. I'm like, what if we do a Google Hangout, and then we do a Google Hangout on air and share the screen that is the Google Hangout?
We could. Ooh, that would be messy. Yeah, that's like, that would be really messy. I'm not sure the quality of that would be very good.
Yeah,
but that's an idea. I mean, you know, you never know. I think, yeah, it's always that call. It's that on air thing that always trips us up.
That is, and I don't think I think next week we'll be back with this format, because I'm just going to be hammered this week. And
yeah, you're, yeah.
And I really want to test this before I'm not going to do what I did today, which was plug everything in and go, hey, let's see if this works. That's not a very professional thing to do.
Yeah. And you know, let's think about this. I mean, video is cool, right? But for this kind of show, does it really add that much value, right? I mean, we're a Saturday morning tech podcasting show. People are going to put this on and listen to it in the background, or they're going to participate in chat. We can't get the callers. We can't, you know, it just shows this crappy little phone screen when the callers come up. So all they do is get to see you or see me. That's not a huge bonus.
No.
So
especially on Saturday morning at 10:30.
Exactly. Exactly. Like when I just wake up because I overslept. But so I don't know. I mean, is there a huge advantage? I guess let's throw that out and see if we can get some feedback from the listeners. Would video change the equation? Should we just keep doing this in an audio-only format? That really makes it easier for us and maybe easier for you. Let us know. What's the best way for them to let you know that, Dave?
Dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. Yeah, because the only thing it would do is it would be on my YouTube channel. But again, if it's not much to look at, is somebody going to watch Ask the Podcast Coach?
I think it's better consumed audio-only, just to be honest. And I'm a video guy, man. Everything I do is video. But as I think about this, is there a way they can call in and leave a message for you as well?
Sure.
What's your number?
Good old 888-563-3228.
So if you want to give us some feedback on, I think we're at the point in the show where we'd like to get some feedback from you. I mean, we talked about that today earlier in this show is, you know, we've never done an audience survey. So tell us what you like, tell us what you don't like, you know, the heart of the material as the callers. And so we try to get to them as soon as possible, but, say, hey, video good, video bad, whatever. But, Dave, it's 10:30.
It is 10:30
Eastern.
Yeah, absolutely.
And do you have a class today?
I have no class today. Actually, you've missed that. I've put my classes on hold.
Okay.
I'm actually moving the School of Podcasting to a virtual private server.
Oh, very nice.
And I have 20 gigs of information at the School of Podcasting, so much to where backing it up and moving it is quite the pain in the butt. I'm actually finishing that today. And it was just a case where I need a good Saturday to get this thing all wrapped up. And so I postpone it. The other thing I'm doing, and I've actually, speaking of surveys, if somebody wants to call in, again, 888-563-3228 or email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com, I thought of this because every week it's a segment. It's like planning your podcast gear, you know, publishing your podcast, your website, promoting your podcast and monetizing and things like that. Instead of making it one big long 6-week course, should I serve it a la carte? And planning will be on this week. If you'd like to sign up, here's the sign up. It's X amount of money. If you want to do just the monetization, here it is. If you just want to do promotion, here it is. Because some people already have a podcast. They don't need the planning part. Although I know people that have taken that class and said, man, I wish I would have taken this before I started my podcast. But so that's actually, I've got a survey out at the schoolpodcasting.com right now asking people, would you rather have these classes a la carte? And the other thing it would allow me to do is it wouldn't be quite so much. It's a fairly large commitment when I start that. It's like the next 6 weeks, my Saturdays are taken, and I could go every other week then and do one and do one off. And,
right.
And that would be – so that's something I'm also looking for feedback.
In the winter, it seems easier to get these Saturdays. I too, you know, for Gallup, I do a high school internship program, and I get instructors for the class, and that's they're instructing right now. So what's allowed me to be on the show is – what's helped me to be on the show is that I have the instructor going, and then I go down and I start teaching the class at 11 Central Time here, and so it's allowed me to be here. But
there you go.
We're at the end of another show.
Yeah, we go. Well, we're here every week. I always tell people I do have people occasionally that will, you know, call up and just want to ask me questions, and I'm like, that's called consulting. And if you'd like to do it for free, I'm here every Saturday, 10:30, along with Jim from theaverageguy.tv. You can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. And thanks to everybody in the chat today. And thanks for everybody who called in. And check out pottertainment.com for Gary. And Lourdes, I forget her podcast. Shame on me. And it was something with a dog, was her second one. Like
Back into the show.
Yes, the Purely Pampered Pup. And you can find the notes for this. It comes out. We're in iTunes. Speaking of the one call to action. Go out to askthepodcastcoach.com/iTunes, and you can leave us a review there, as well as if you go to askthepodcastcoach.com/17, you will find the links to this show. So thanks to everybody, and we'll see you again next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.